Well, if you have your Bibles, you can turn over this morning. We'll start in Genesis chapter 5, and then we'll be hopping over there to the New Testament. But Genesis chapter 5 this morning. And who would like to read there for us verses 18 through 24? Miss Martha, go ahead. Genesis chapter 5, verses 18 through 24.
And Jared lived 160 years, and he begat Enoch. And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years, and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years. And begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him.
All right. Thank you there, Miss Martha. And so here we see two times we have a phrase repeated for us. The first there in verse number 22, the Bible says that Enoch walked with God. And then in verse 24, and Enoch walked with God. And then you notice that phrase, and he was not. And so Enoch is actually one of the only ones that never saw death, because God would translate him up into heaven at such a time as he determined. But this morning we want to focus on that first part where it says Enoch walked with God. That was Enoch's testimony. And that should seek to be our desire, that should seek to be our testimony, that we would walk with God on a day-by-day basis. And so the very first thing we want to see this morning is Enoch's biography. We want to see Enoch's biography. And there, in verses 18 through 20, we see Enoch the son is born there in verses 18 through 20. And you notice the genealogies. Jared lived 162 years. He begat Enoch. Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. Could you imagine living over 900 years? There are some days I feel like I've lived over 900 years, and I could not even begin to imagine. And then, of course, Enoch lived 65 years, and he would have Methuselah. Of course, Methuselah, the oldest living person that we have recorded in Scripture. And we see here Enoch, the son of Jared. His name Enoch means he was instructed. He was trained up. And then after Enoch's born in verses 21 through 23, Enoch as the father has a son. And his son's name means when he dies, or judgment. And so we read there verse 21, how he begat Methuselah, verses 22 and 23. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And then, of course, verse 22, we see Enoch, as the believer, walked with God in verse 24 again. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. So again, this is Enoch's testimony that he walked with God. That's what he was known for. And the way he walked with God is, of course, by faith. And so take your Bibles and go over, if you would, Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 this morning. Of course, what is commonly referred to as the Hebrew Hall of Faith, recording for us all of the descendants down through the ages there in the Old Testament who died in the faith. Hebrews chapter 11. And who would like to read there verse number 5? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. Katie, go ahead.
By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God.
All right. And so here now, so we see who Enoch was there in Genesis. And we saw that we had that phrasing and that background that he walked with God. But now here in Hebrews chapter 11, we see a little bit more of Enoch. And we see here just in this one verse, we see that Enoch, he lived by faith. You notice the first two words there, verse number 5, by faith. Enoch was translated that he should not see death. And so we see there that Enoch, he never died. He was not found because God translated him. And Enoch's disappearance, it was a mystery to the people of his day. He was there one day, and then one day, he just up and vanished. And they didn't know what had happened. And, you know, someday, we know that the Lord Jesus Christ, he's going to return. He's going to take us home, and there are going to be people left behind, unfortunately. And, you know, they're going to probably wonder, okay, now where have we gone? And we see here that even though they didn't know where he went, they knew that Enoch had this testimony, last part there of verse number 5, that he was one that pleased God. And you see there it says, before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And so in other words, this morning, before he left this world, before he left this life, he had a testimony among people that he pleased God, that he walked with God. And that ought to be our testimony before we walk, or before we leave this earth, before we leave this world, that we are someone that pleases God with our life. And so we see there Enoch's faith there in Hebrews chapter 11. And then go over, if you would, Jude. There's just the one chapter of Jude this morning. And who'd like to read there verses 14 and 15? Michaela, go ahead, sweetie.
And Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him.
All right, thank you there, Michaela. And so we see here now Enoch, with his faith in store, he now enters into his ministry. And we see there here in verse 14 and 15, verse 14 tells us about Enoch representing the seventh human generation and how he preached and his message was known. And Enoch's message, his message to the world, was one of judgment and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, if you go back up there in Jude, notice there, if you would, verse 1, of course, Jude is writing this letter. He says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And so we see here that when Jude began to originally write this epistle, which is really, it's just a general epistle to general people, he was coming with the intent, he was coming with the purpose of just writing about the salvation that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he wanted to talk about. He wanted to talk about the salvation found in Christ, but he said there that it was needful for him to write and exhort them or encourage them to contend for the faith. And the reason they needed to contend for the faith, because verse number 4, for there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And so Jude, he wanted to come, he wanted to write about salvation, but there were some men, they were creeping in, and they were turning the grace of God into something that it was not, and he had to exhort, he had to encourage to stand for and defend the faith. And so that was Enoch's message, was one of judgment. It was one of the coming of Christ. We know that in Romans 5:8, the Bible tells us, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so this story this morning of Enoch teaches us several things. Number one, it teaches us that God takes special notice of those who have a hunger to walk with him. He takes special notice of those who have a hunger to walk with him. You think of the first 10 generations that lived on the earth, and it was Enoch who God made special notice of. It was Enoch who God made special mention of, not because necessarily of his talents, not necessarily because of his accomplishments, but because he had the testimony that he walked with God. And this morning, you might not have the most talent, you might not have the most accomplishments, you might not, you know, be able to do a lot of things when it comes to ministry or service to God, but if you're seeking to walk with God, God takes notice of that. God takes that into account as he's dealing with us. And we see there twice in the book of Genesis, in that brief biography of Enoch, it says that Enoch walked with God. And then in Hebrews, Enoch walked with God. And so the fact this morning is that Enoch's entire existence was defined by that phrase, that Enoch walked with God. All 10 of the men in this genealogy, as you go back and you study the genealogy that came from Enoch and after Enoch, you'll find that they all, to some degree, pleased God. They all did. But it was Enoch's walk with God that was unique among them. It was Enoch's walk with God that was different among them. And God is still looking today for people who will strive to walk with him. You say, how did he do it? And how can we, you know, have that testimony that we walk with God, that we please God? Well, Enoch stayed constantly in communication with God. He had a prayer life. And, you know, if we're ever going to say we walk with God, or we have a relationship with God that gets, you know, deeper as we grow as a Christian, then we need that prayer life. And, you know, we all pray in different ways. We don't necessarily have to get into a closet somewhere, get alone, or whatever the case may be. You know, there could be times you're driving down the road and you're just, you know, praying and, you know, thinking through things, and, you know, the Lord brings things to your remembrance and you pray like that. But the point is, you stay constant communication with God. You have a life of prayer. But not only that, Enoch paid close attention to his relationship with God. You know, it's just like, you know, a friendship or a marriage or whatever the case may be. You know, if you want that to, you know, grow, and if you want that to be what it needs to be, you need to give some attention to it. You need to, you know, make sure that you're paying close attention to it instead of just, you know, it's like, you know, some people will get a dog, right? And they get a dog and, you know, they get the dog and they just keep it outside all day, and they just, you know, they might feed it and water it or whatever the case may be. Yeah, it's like a plant. They just feed it and water it, but they don't have any relationship with the dog. They don't have any, you know, bond with the dog. It's just, you know, there in the yard. And, well, we can't treat God like that. We can't, you know, and then we want to, you know, but then, you know, we want that dog to protect us if, you know, something goes wrong. But, you know, we haven't put any effort in that relationship with the dog. And we need to pay close attention to our relationship with God. But not only that, Enoch was very close to God in all of his thoughts. Everything Enoch thought, he thought about, okay, how could this please God? How could this, you know, what would God think about this? What would God have me to do here? And, you know, that needs to be our mindset, you know. What would God have me to do here? Would this please God? And so on and so forth. But not only that, Enoch knew with all of his heart that God loved him. And because of that, Enoch loved God with all of his heart. You know, the moment you realize this morning that God loves you with all of his heart, no matter your shortcomings, no matter your lack of talent, no matter your lack of accomplishment, no matter, you know, how much you might mess up and sin and have to come back to God time and time again and ask for forgiveness, it doesn't change how much he loves you. And when you realize how much he loves you, then you're going to, in return, love him just as much with all of your heart. But then Enoch's actions, his words, his thoughts were only those things that pleased God. His talk matched his walk, and his walk matched his talk. And then Enoch, we see he worked to obey God with every step that he took. And Enoch wanted to go wherever God was going. So in other words, this morning, if God was there, Enoch wanted to be there. And we need to have that same desire. We need to have that same testimony, that same heart, that same want to, okay, if God is there, then I want to be there because that's where God is. And so we see this morning that God takes special notice of those who hunger to walk with him. But then secondly, this morning, it pleases God when we have a reputation for walking with him. It pleases God when we have a reputation for walking with him. Again, Hebrews 11:5, the Bible says Enoch had this testimony. And that is that it was what he was known for. Everybody is ultimately known for something. If I say the name Evel Knievel, what do we know Evel Knievel for?
Motorcycle.
We know him for his death-defying stunts with the motorcycle, his other stunts. Didn't he walk across a tightrope at some point and, across two mountains or whatever? And so if we say somebody's name, we know them by something. For better or for worse, we say Hitler. What is he known for, right? For the Holocaust and for the massacre of God's people. And we say Osama bin Laden. We think of terrorism and so on and so forth. And so everybody is ultimately known for something. You think about back when you were in school, right? We all had teachers. They were known for either you could maybe cut up a little bit with them, or, they were just kind of very hard-nosed, straight edge, and by the book, and, you didn't mess around with them when you were in their class, because they were known to be tough teachers or whatever the case may be. And so everybody's known for something. Everybody is known for something, and God is pleased when we are willing to be known for our walk with him. And Enoch was someone who he wanted to be known for his walk with God. He didn't care what anybody else thought. He was going to be known for his walk with God. And then thirdly, this morning, we see God teaches great truths to those who walk with him. God teaches great truths to those who walk with him. Enoch, we know, was a prophet whose preaching was well known for many generations. Here in Jude verses 14 and 15, God revealed to Enoch that an outpouring of judgment was coming. And Enoch named his son Methuselah, which literally means when he dies, there shall be a sending forth. And so Methuselah died in the year 1656 AM, which is after man, the same year that God judged the world with the flood. And so after Methuselah dies, then the flood and Noah's Ark, that is when that happens, and that's when that comes into light. And so the life of Enoch's son Methuselah was a fulfillment of Enoch's prophecy. And so when you walk with God, and you're in your Bible, and you have that prayer life, God is going to show you things that will help you as you walk with him. And then number four, we see that we walk with God by faith. We walk with God by faith. Again, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5, that we walk with God by faith. Verse 6 tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please him. And so the concept of walking with God, for many people, that's still a great mystery. How can we possibly walk with somebody that we don't see? Right? I mean, to us, he's this invisible being. He's this invisible deity. But it only is a great mystery until a person chooses to jump in and learn how to walk with God. And that's when the mysteries begin to be revealed. And so the choice to jump in is a step of faith. And so everyone who has ever chosen to take the leap and learn to walk with God has done so by faith. And there's no other way to walk. There's no other way to live except by faith. Because if we had the answers for everything, then we'd either live for God or we wouldn't. But God doesn't want that. He wants us to just take him at his word by faith. And then fifthly and finally this morning, we see that God has a special purpose for those who walk with him. God has a special purpose for those who walk with him. Now for Enoch, that special purpose was that Enoch did not die. The Bible tells us that God translated him, or in other words, he changed him from his earthly body to his heavenly body without the dread, without the pain of any physical death. And it was Enoch, he was the seventh from Adam. It was only Adam had faced death among those 10 patriarchs when Enoch was translated. So God used the man who was known for walking with God to let his people know that those who walk with God and walk with him, well, they have nothing to fear. And that though there must be mysteries regarding the ending of this life, God still has something very special for those who know him. And this was the purpose that God used Enoch to fulfill. And so this morning, we think about walking with God. And when you walk with God, God likewise has a great purpose that he uses you to fulfill. Someone said this about Enoch and about the text and about Enoch walking with God. They said this: the man who walks with God always reaches his destination. The man who walks with God always reaches his destination. So this morning, if you'll walk with God, if you'll have that testimony of one that walks with God, then no matter where it is, you're headed on the, you know, the road of life. You'll reach that destination with him there with you each step of the way. And so this morning, let us seek to have that testimony that we please God, that we walk with God, and we do so by faith. And so, Brother Kenny, would you close us in prayer this morning?